It is Locked On Jazz for the 8th of August. Thurl Bailey finishes up the summer interview series with us, and we explain, I explain why I got a little testy yesterday about the expectations on Donovan Mitchell and get excited about what might be to come. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it a lot more fun to be a Jazz fan in the offseason and going around as well. All right, a bunch of little news notes to start off the show today, and then I want to dig into something. Then Thurl joins us for the final parts of the interview series. We'll talk about the backcourt play, Moutier and Exum, and then move into some thoughts around the league. We barely get to that at the end. We just had so many other things to talk about. Yesterday, Steve Starks was named CEO of the Larry H. Miller Corporation. It's kind of over my head on what all this means, but I can just tell you that Steve Starks is an unbelievable guy. Been great to work for. I come close to calling him a friend. I think he would help me out as a friend as well as a boss. Really, really good, good person. Don Sterling, who's now running the Jazz for the interim for the next, probably short period of time, is one of my most favorite people I've ever met. Just a joy to be around. Was on a fundraiser for Mitt Romney on the Olympic Committee. He's been involved in a lot of different really interesting things. His dad actually started fantasy baseball all the way very back and was involved in the ABA. He's just a wonderful, wonderful man. There are a ton of great internal candidates. Steve has built up a stock of really good candidates inside the organization with very just different skill sets. And obviously the organization showed evidently on the search for Steve that they're willing to go outside. So I think this is the natural progression. Really, frankly, this is what Gail kicked in when she named Steve the president of the Jazz and a little while back, which was turning this into a major company that was not always run by the Millers, that the board has its major impact, but was not always run by the Millers. Today, Locked On NBA, Ben Golliver joins me. It's a really good, fun show. We get into some of the things I'm going to talk about here, but he also specifically talked about De'Aaron Fox and Donovan Mitchell and the plays they've been making, so I thought you'd want to hear that little piece.
I think there's absolutely buzz around both those guys. I'm going to make a couple comparisons for you. And this is USA Basketball related. I think with De'Aaron Fox, the buzz around him, it really reminds me of a young Kyrie. I mean, everybody's seen that video where he's sort of slaloming through full court, driving between his legs and doing spin moves against the older USA vets from probably 5 or 6 years ago. That's kind of what it feels like with Fox. I mean, everybody you talk to is just like, man, we knew he was fast, but he's even faster than we realized. And he's just been great at putting pressure on his man and, essentially just getting into the paint kind of at will. Popovich has also praised his shot making. I know that that's sort of the big X factor to me for Sacramento's season is if he can continue to make, 37% of his three-pointers and scale up the volume there, he becomes a very, very difficult player to guard. And I think he's going to be a really nice fit for what Luke Walton wants to do, which is get up and down and play with pace. And I think he was hoping to do that maybe more with the Lakers than he was actually able to do in these last couple of seasons. To me, that's just kind of like a perfect marriage between coach and player. Now, Donovan Mitchell today during the scrimmages, now we don't get to see the whole practice, but today we probably got to see about 30 minutes of gameplay. And the number one highlight of the whole day, there was a two-on-one fast break. Mitchell passes to Walker, Kemba Walker, who sets him up with an alley-oop, and Mitchell went way up to get it. I mean, his head's almost rim level, throws it down. The whole gym was kind of oohing and aahing. And then there was another play where he came from the weak side on defense, deflected a lob pass, came down the other direction, in transition, got himself into the corner and hit a stop and pop three-pointer from the corner too. So it was just a nice end-to-end play where, his teammates are cheering for him. The coaching staff is nodding its approval. And a lot of the scouts and other coaches and NBA personnel from around the league are kind of murmuring and saying, oh boy, that guy is something special. And maybe the comparison for him there would be a young Dwayne Wade, a guy who really settled in with USA Basketball, had an upbeat, positive personality, became sort of a central leader of that group. And I do think that's one thing that, this FIBA World Cup team needs to establish. It's an alpha scorer on the court, who's going to be stepping forward in key late game moments. And then also who's going to be sort of the biggest personality in the room, who's going to be one of these guys who can you know, unite everybody and pull them together. And even though both Fox and Mitchell are on the younger side of this group, I definitely think they've got both the talent and the moxie, you know, the kind of charisma that just kind of pops from the guys who are here present and playing in this group. So to me, I think they're both going to get a lot of time over in China. I think they're both going to make a big impact.
All right. So now I want to get to what that whole interview, by the way, available at Locked On NBA. Go grab that. Subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. Now I want to get into what I alluded to the other day. It's really bothering me. And you know, it might be a little personal because I think people are misinterpreting what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Donovan has to be more efficient than he was a year ago and that he wasn't as, okay, that's fine. I'm not saying that in any way, shape or form that last year was a step back or he wasn't as good. He just needs to be more efficient. That's the natural progression of players. And if you look at NBA stars, they get more efficient year two, particularly guards in year two to year three. So Ben Golliver mentioned Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade in his rookie year shot 46.5. In his second year, he shot 48. And in his third year, when he makes the jump, in his third year, he shoots 49.5%. His effective field goal percentage, which is really the number that matters, goes from 47 to 48 to 50. His points per game go from 16 to 24 to 27. Like that's... Now, Donovan took 19.9 shots a game. Wade did not do that until his sixth year. But that's because Donovan was just in a miserable circumstance as the sole offensive player while still learning the game. And he managed it beautifully. Okay, so Dwayne Wade, second year. Here's the one that I think should excite everyone the most. Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose comes into the league. In his first year, he shoots 47%, no three-point shooting. His effective field goal percentage is 48%. And then he jumps his second year up a little bit. And in his third year, he goes from 17 points a game to 21 points a game to 25 points a game and becomes the MVP. Becomes a second-time All-Star and becomes his free throw attempts go from 3 to 4 to 7. In the case of Derrick Rose, when you're going to analyze who he is as a player, you probably have to look at true shooting percentage because his game was so much based on going to the free throw line. His true shooting percentage goes from 52 to 53 to 55. It's the third year. So when a player like Donovan has a great first year, expecting him to have a great second year, no, he adjusts, he learns, he makes some mistakes, probably didn't have a brilliant offseason, and instead, they break out in the third year. Even Steph Curry, who interestingly enough is kind of a different case on all of this, we don't know because he gets injured in his third year. Steph Curry, different type of player than what we're talking about with just pure unbelievable shooting, but similar. And both, by the way, pointing out that both Wade and Curry were long college players. But if you look at Curry, he goes from 18 points to 19 points. He gets injured 23 games in and then goes to 23-point game a game. And then he really obviously becomes a totally different player at 27 years old and becomes an All-Star by 25. But his jump of when he really is an All-Star is year 3 to 4, but he doesn't play year 3. He just figures it out. Klay Thompson, different style player, but... let's look at it. Klay Thompson goes from 13 points a game to 16 points a game to 18 points a game. His three-point shooting doesn't change a great deal, but his understanding of the game, effective field goal percentage jumps from 51 to 53 in year two to year three. And then he actually really explodes a little bit, I think, because of Kerr and everything else that's going on and the use of Draymond in year four. He goes to 18 points a game to 22, and he was a three-year college player. So when you start to run down when and what you expect out of Donovan, this is the natural year for him to make a jump. I expect we're going to see it, and I expect it's going to be big. And that's actually what, again, I've said this numerous times, has me most excited about the Jazz season, is the fact that the Jazz have built this team in a manner so that the players who have to be great are Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. It's kind of awesome. It's kind of awesome. All right, Big Teeth Earl Bailey will join us. We touched on a lot of that yesterday. If you didn't catch the part about Donovan, we got into it yesterday. That's kind of what has me on this kick with Donovan. Intercap Lending did my mortgage a few years back. I got to know Steve Carter then, which was totally great. And then since then, Intercap has gone bananas. It's such a cool story. Josh Romney brought them to Utah. They'd been a longtime mortgage company or lending company for about 40 years. He brought them to Utah in April of 2016, put the headquarters in Utah at the time, employed about 100 people. Now it's just keeps growing. Why? Well, the main reason it keeps growing is because they get deals done. If you're a real estate agent, why would you go to a lending company? Because you want to make sure the deals get done. You don't get paid until that deal is done. For me, when I did a refi, I did it through Steve Carter, and I found out exactly this. Steve Carter goes above and beyond to get deals done. And Intercap has some unique aspects to them. No overlays, no additional requirements, direct lender. They still own the loan that I did with them. So therefore, they can do more difficult loans. Low credit, self-employed, business assets, multiple properties. Let them take a look at the loan. They're growing, and they're getting better. It's Intercap Lending. Call Steve Carter at 385-885-28. That's 385-885-28. Tell him you're with Locked On Jazz. He'll give you the Locked On Jazz corporate discount. It's Intercap Lending, NMLS number 190465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. Again, Steve Carter's number, 385-885-28. That's Intercap Lending.
Day three with Thurl Bailey here on the Summer Interview Series. Before we dig in around the rest of the league, Andy Larson was on with us last week. He voiced a pretty big concern about the Jazz backup backcourt. He just looks at Emmanuel Mudiay, who just has not been good yet in his NBA career, and just doesn't looks at Dante, wonders, what's your how concerning, or is this just the reality of when you start paying some of your players $30 million that this is what you're dealing with?
You had to mention the number, didn't you? Yeah. That's an important that's the most important position. The point guard position is the vital, and maybe even more so sometimes is the backup point guard position, because you don't want to ride, you know, your starting point guard to death throughout the course of the season, but you want to have someone in there that can make an impact. And listen, I'm never going to question. What the Jazz do and who they pick, especially knowing Dennis Lindsay and the lens of, you know, we always talk about that he has for players. But I don't know if I'm concerned. I'm interested. Maybe that's a better word. Listen, I know a guy like Mudiay is looking to kind of get back on the map, right? I think we know he can play. Has he kind of been a disappointment in the public eye? Yeah, of course. But this could be an opportunity for him. Dante Exum, you know, will he continue to be the injury-prone player that he's been? Well, you hope not. You think every year that it could be his year. But that window's getting smaller and smaller every year for you to be able to prove yourself. And even if you don't remain with the team, other teams are obviously going to be concerned about that as well. I'm not sure. Concerned is not the word as much as I'm very interested to see what that supporting point guard. So is it going to be a two-headed monster after Conley, or is it going to be one guy who's just going to break through and shine and be that backup, steady backup point guard?
Well, Mike Conley's not young.
Yeah, he's not, but he's experienced and he's got enough gas in the tank, I think.
Right, but I don't think you want to play him more than 72
right.
games.
I agree.
I mean, if we're as good as we think we are, we're going to be one of the top three or four seeds. You've got an extra 2 months of basketball to play.
Yeah, but when you look at what we, you know, Dante at his best, healthy Dante at his best, right? Great length.
Can we dig into that? That's actually, there's my concern. I'm going to be really honest here for a second. And I actually picked up the phone and called a bunch of people about this, and they know more about the game than I do. And so they said I'm wrong on this a little bit, and that there's little things you wouldn't be able to see. I went back on that concept, Dante Exum at his best. My memory of what Dante Exum at his best is and what the numbers tell me Dante Exum at his best is are not the same thing, I will just say.
All right, so which one do you lean on?
Well, I don't know, but you know which one I lean on, and that's why there's this level of concern in my voice. I mean, I lean on the numbers, but I remember I said to someone the other day, gosh, it's such a bummer that Dante got hurt. He was just on fire right before he got hurt. It was all coming together. I haven't looked at it. That's actually not true. Like, he scored 20 in a 20-point loss at Philadelphia, and he had 13 points and 13 assists against a Knicks team that wasn't NBA level. Three nights before that, he went 1 of 5 against Oklahoma City, and when we played Toronto, he went 4 of 11. Like,
yeah. Yeah, but you have to look at that. I mean, you have to really look at that. You just talked about those two games that he had, one not against a very good thing, but that's something to me. When I look at that, I say, well, we haven't seen this guy play a lot, right? We haven't seen him. We want to see him consistently play, but even that 20 he had is something. I mean, it's still the NBA, and you're still a backup point guard. Can you pull a string of those? Well, the Jazz have hung with him for a reason. I mean, think about it. I mean, I think there's a potential there that we've seen glimpses of. But the time to really prove that potential every year, even though by numbers he's still young, but with this team at least, he's got to stay. He's got to be healthy this year. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And some of that he can't control, but this has to be a good year for him.
Okay, let me give him a little credit because I just went the other way, but let me give him a little credit here. When I dug into my numbers, he got benched in Charlotte, doesn't play, and doesn't really play in Miami the next night. So, I mean, that was the nadir of his career right there. Like, he thinks he's come back, and we're 20 games into the season, and Quinn doesn't play him. My memory is that's a DNP. Quinn finally just, I think, honestly looks at the team and says, all right, if I don't play Dante, I don't have any elite athletes. I have to play Dante. And so he brings Dante back against San Antonio on December 4th. For the next 16 games, Dante played 16 minutes a night. He averaged 9 points a game and 4 assists. He shot 51% and 38% from 3. You know what? If we stop viewing him like I probably was in my first analysis piece, which is the former 5th pick of the draft, and let him be that, if he wants to do that, that's terrific. If he wants to go, if he wants to go 9-4 with 2 rebounds and 16 solid minutes a night, we're all in on that because that would be terrific.
Yeah, and that's my point. I mean, I think that's where you start. You know, that's where you start. Can you consistently do that? Let's work on that first, and then we'll get some surprises in between there. We'll have some games where it's like, oh my goodness, right? And then we might have some games. Well, that's kind of the Donovan. I mean, the Dante that, you know, that we saw kind of early in his career. But I know it's there. I think it just needs an opportunity to be consistent. And you know, he's a kid that wants it really bad. I know a lot of players do, but he's been through enough that I think it's time for a great story for this young man. I think we're going to see a lot of it.
But I think the other thing you have is any of us who've been around him want him to do so well because he's such a great kid. When you suddenly spend, like, I haven't seen him in 2.5-3 months, and so you start to just dig into the numbers and forget that you like him, and then it's like, oh, like that's
good.
I find that to be interesting. That phenomenon. Let's do the same thing about Moutier. And I don't know if you, and I don't want to, I've done this in both the last two shows, so I don't want to bore everyone with it. Like, okay, so Moody's background, just so you know, is like he didn't play in high school because he was on Deion Sanders' team and he gets eliminated. They get it ruled ineligible. So and then for no particularly good reason, Denver decides to start him 68 games and play him 30 minutes a night, and he's terrible. Last year in the first half of the season in New York, who's not a good team, but they hadn't totally quit yet, okay? He plays in up until he sprains his ankle on the 39th game of his season. In those first 38 games, he averages 15 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds. He shoots 45% from the field, only 31% from 3, in 28 minutes a night. Like, is that a big enough sample size for you? And when he comes back, he's not very good. They're terrible. and he's not very good. And frankly, they had kind of kicked the tires by the time he gets hurt. But what's your feeling? Is that a big enough sample size to say, okay, that's a viable, legitimate impact player in the NBA?
Well, if I'm a GM, I'm not even Dennis Lindsay, but maybe I am. I'm saying, you know, what do I need for the supporting cast? What kind of guys am I looking for? Looking for guys who are ready for a breakthrough team, breakthrough career, consistently, potentially. We've got our mainstays. What can I surround these guys with? Who can I surround them with that may be hungry to get back on stage and show? And yeah, I think those stats you ran off were before he got injured. Maybe that's enough. That's enough for me to say, yeah, in this case, at this time, for this run, we're gonna give this guy a shot, because Dante's an unknown, right? And so, it is an answer to your question. I think it is.
Okay, there's a 20-game stretch in the middle there for everybody on Moutier. He scores 17 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds a game, playing 30 minutes a night in a 20-game stretch. In the midst of that stretch, by the way, in a game against Charlotte, who's not very good, but their point guard is Kemba Walker, he put 36 on Kemba Walker in that stretch.
That's enough right there, D.
So that's all right. One more Emmanuel Moutier question. We'll come back with it and then Big T and I will talk about the rest of the league as we continue. It's the summer interview series with the great Thurl Bailey here on Locked On Jazz.
Final part with Thurl Bailey right around the corner. Today's show brought to you in part by Murdoch Hyundai. Fun stuff going over at Hyundai, the new Palisade car. I was playing golf with a buddy yesterday. He's like, do you get that? Do you get to see it? I mean, it is kind of the rage right now. The word I'm hearing on it is you can go look at it, but frankly, it's a waiting list car right now. That's how popular the Palisade is. And this is all lining up to the already award-winning lineup of SUVs with the Tucson, the Kona, and the Santa Fe. The Palisade dealer is just... Palisade is just incredible. So make sure you stop by Hyundai, 4646 South State Street. I always think these are always kind of funny. Like, so what should I tell you? And should I, like, I'm not one who wants to tell you exactly how you're supposed to spend your money. That always seems funny. But what I can tell you is I didn't know the Hyundai brand well until I got to know the Murdochs. Since I've been driving the Hyundai brand, I'm totally impressed with it. What you get for the value, we bought one ourselves. So if you're in the market for a car, stop by Hyundai at 4646 South State Street, or in Logan, or in Linden, sat adjacent at 4646 South State Street. He's the one who helped my wife when she bought the car there. And say, you know, find out what you can get for the value. I think you'll find out, one, that the Murdoch family and their 93 years in Utah are committed to giving you the best experience they can. You're going to find out that Hyundai gives you a lot of awesome, awesome deals and value and bells and whistles that you don't get other places. I think you'll be super, super impressed. It's Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street. By the way, when you're done with this, Locked On NBA with Ben Golliver, but also Locked On NFL is kind of on fire right now. It's been one of the top most listened to NFL shows with the new edition of Brian Peacock as the host, the scout Matt Williamson hosting, or with his analysis. So if you're getting ready for the NFL season, make sure you get Locked On NFL, your favorite podcast provider.
This is not my favorite thing. This is Thurl. You think I'm pretty stubborn with my numbers and everything. I'm not usually a believer in this. Coaches are a big believer in this. So I'm going to listen for a second. I think I'm going to listen for a second.
Good luck.
All right. So the fact that Moutier puts 27 on New Orleans, the fact that he put 28 on Milwaukee, the fact that he put 34 on Charlotte, 32 on Phoenix, 32 on Atlanta last year, 15 or more in a stretch of 17 out of 21 games. How important is it, as inefficient as he might be, and as much as some of that makes me cringe, that he just can get a bucket?
Well, I think what that tells you is that he can get a bucket. And it tells you that he has been in that position of leadership as that point guard, and he's done well with it at times. maybe enough times where you got to give it a second look and a third. So yeah, I mean, I think when you look at his career and the things that he's done, I mean, you've got to know all that going into it. Obviously you do your homework, but, there's worse choices and maybe there's some better ones, but I think you're catching a guy who could be on the right there on the edge of doing some really good things. You know, the season is long. You know, as well as I do, that so many variables, so many things happen. Guys get opportunities to go in and prove who they are and why they belong in this league. And, you know, we talk about numbers a lot. We talk about, you know, how guys look on certain teams, but he's never been on this team. And so who knows what side that, you know, that will go on as far as a good thing for the Jazz and him, or maybe not so good. But I think when you look at those numbers, you have to, it's a risk, but I think it could be a good one.
All right. Let's talk about the conference quickly. What do you think of the Lakers?
I think they're going to be good. And I don't say that just because they get Anthony Davis and they have the best player in the world. I think DeMarcus Cousins is going to show that he still can play. I think those two did well in New Orleans together. So it's going to be interesting to see how that total dynamic works out. But I think Kyle Kuzma may be that third guy.
When does LeBron get old?
I think I've seen some signs of it. I saw signs of it last year. A lot of games off, injuries kicking in. Maybe all those games weren't because of injury, but I think at a certain point for him, it's like, well, we're not going to be doing much anyway, so I'm not going to get old this year. So he's got a lot in the tank. I mean, this guy's workout regimen. He's got the ability to really kind of control his pace. And he's the point guard of the team. Let's make no mistake about that. He's the point guard. Oh, you want to dispute that?
No. I know. I 100% agree with that.
Okay. So,
but that's what concerns me. I really don't have any idea on the Lakers. I honestly have no idea. Like, they're the team. People always ask me it, and I'm like, I have no idea. So I don't.
You don't think they'll be in a mix?
I don't have it. I think they could be one, and I think they could be seven.
Yeah. That's a good point, though.
I don't think Rajon Rondo can play anymore. Avery Bradley's body hasn't been right in a while. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I'm not sure is good. I'm not sure Jared Dudley's still playing. I mean, he was okay last year. I'm not with you on DeMarcus Cousins. I'm just not sure.
You think he's done?
I think that if you want to know who I think had the best offseason of any team in the NBA, the Golden State Warriors. Because the Golden State Warriors didn't sign two players to 5-year max contracts off career-threatening injuries, one of which is really career-threatening. So, I mean, DeMarcus is still coming off an Achilles. No big man his size has come back from an Achilles. And he
not come back to be the player that they could, that they were, but...
Okay, so...
I mean, I think he's got enough game in him to give the Lakers what they need. He's not the man.
All right, LeBron's the point guard, and we run a Mike Conley, Rudy Gobert pick and roll. What are they doing?
Say it again.
So if LeBron's the point guard, and we run a Mike Conley, Rudy Gobert pick and roll with LeBron and DeMarcus Cousins, who at this point in time are like two of the worst defensive players in the league, don't we torch them all night?
We're going to score. Absolutely.
So that's – and then people's answer is, well, they have Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis has only been on one team in his entire career that was in the top 10 defensively. And he had Drew Holiday as his point guard, who's really good. So I don't have – I just don't know on them. I'm more confused about them than I am the Rockets.
Yeah, but the point is, it's a LeBron-run team. You won't count it out, right? You don't know.
The only
part of that you don't know is I'm not going to count them out.
Okay,
they got LeBron.
The only thing I'll say about this, and this is probably a stupid comment because he's LeBron James, but if I look at his basketball reference page and take the name off, I wouldn't be that concerned if I was an opponent. The fade last year at 46,000 regular season minutes was significant.
Yeah.
Like, do you know how many guys in the history of the league have ever played 46,000 minutes?
You're going to tell me.
I think it's two. I think it's like Karl Malone and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
That's a lot of miles.
And that doesn't count one playoff minute. So I just don't know. I got it. Like, it's, I'm sitting here on an island by myself and I feel, you know, and I, all my friends left cause they don't want to be around me. And I got, and I'm not sure I blame them. Right. Like I'm 100% with anyone who doesn't want to join me on this conversation, but like at some point we're going to look back and say, oh yeah, it was really over then. And I think we might've seen it.
Well, you're not on an island by yourself. I think Boone is on there with you, but he's got his boat docked.
But Booner actually proves that LeBron that you never age. What's your thought?
It's going to be wild, man.
Before I let you go, I have two more questions for you. I have another strong take that I released last week, and I want your thoughts on it. But first, what's your thought on the Rockets?
I don't know if I do have a thought on them. I still think they're going to be good. Yeah, I just do. I think when you take a Russell Westbrook, a guy who is the kind of player he's been, I'm not sure how much longer he can play the way he plays with that type of fierceness and athletic ability. But he can get you triple-double. He can make guys better. He'll get his. He just needs the right combination. I don't know if James Harden is that right guy. He's played with him before, but this is different. And I think the key to the Rockets those guys being who they are is going to be the other guys around them. How much better is Capella going to be? You're going to put him in situations where he can be consistent and not just a high ball, a high pass dunk guy. He'll be good defensively, obviously, but that's what I look at with that team. I don't look so much at those two guys as much as how much help they're going to have or not have.
And how much do they all really hate playing with Chris Paul like everybody else ever has, and so that they're actually going to enjoy themselves now? Like, that's like a legitimate, like, that track record Chris Paul's left in is pretty hard to deny at this point. I mean, the rumors have been there forever. So, by the way, I would misspoke. I believe that LeBron note is only Malone and Jabbar have played more regular season and playoff minutes combined. I'll have to check Dirk, because I know Dirk played 50,000 minutes, and so did Kidd, and so did Elvin Hayes. So I think LeBron's like 15th all time in minutes played, and I think he's with playoff minutes, he's third all time. So I missed.
Well, it sounds like you were already checking.
Well, I just realized when I said it, when I realized I said it, I realized it wasn't quite right, and I had to go check what I said. I got all fired up. Like, it sounded good.
I believe it.
But right, see, so I just thought I'd make sure you didn't make there. All right, final thought for you.
Okay.
Who's the best player in the Western Conference?
Oh, man. Who's the best player in the Western Conference? Let me scan that Western Conference real quick.
See, I don't even think it's that close.
Oh.
And it's,
where are you going?
Steph Curry.
Yeah. I mean, the best player. See, we always go to offense, don't we?
But his offense is – well, I don't usually because I just told you earlier.
Rudy Gobert is pretty damn good.
Well, I had Rudy as the 10th best player in the Western Conference – in the NBA, so I told you that earlier. But, like, Steph's offense is so much better than everyone else in the league. Like, Kawhi's the other answer, but like Steph's offense is way better than everyone else.
Yeah, but does that define him as the best player? I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just trying to get your definition of impact to a team.
I just think it's really interesting that Steph Curry is, in my opinion, the best player in the Western Conference, and everyone's picking the Warriors seventh. Now,
that's what you were getting to.
Yeah, that's what I was getting to.
listen, I don't disagree with you that Steph Curry is freaking awesome and arguably the best player. Impact-wise, that's not going to impact you defensively, but he'll, you know, he'll definitely burn you. I think he's probably one of the best ball handlers I've seen in a long time. That's one of the reasons why he's able to do what he does offensively. But I like Klay Thompson just as much, almost as Steph does. I know he's dealing with his injury, but I just like what Klay brings. You know, he brings his calmness, he brings his firepower on offense, but he's also a good defender.
Well, so, if they had Klay Thompson, I might pick them first in the West.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt that. They would be there for sure.
All right. Fun debates around and about. Thurl, you're the best. Thanks for spending an hour with us this week. We super, super appreciate it.
Anytime with you, David Locke. Appreciate what you do, brother.
Huge thanks to Thurl Bailey. Not quite sure who our guest is this week. We are hoping to have Tony Jones next week. We might have some travel issues. So there'll be another summer interview series coming your direction on Monday. Thank you very much for tuning in. I do want to get a live show so I can talk with you guys here coming up. So keep an eye out for that. Talk to you soon. This is Locked On Jazz, all part of the Locked On Podcast Network.